volume up there. Does anyone have any questions?
Yes, I do. The question of George the Third and how how Mozart would have talked to him. That presumably they both would speak German, would they not?
Yes, quite so. Thank you, Christopher. The common language between the court and the Mozarts would indeed have been German. I loved when you did your question there. You said Handel at Mozart. I've been doing that all week.
I know. Well, I very much enjoyed Handel the other week. I recommend that to anybody who's not done that. Yeah.
Excellent. Oh, thank you. No, we did Handel last week. I've been getting mixed up all week. But we discussed George I last week on the Handel tour, who didn't have a word of English. But George III certainly could speak English, but they would have been fluent in German. So maybe that sort of fellow feeling is why those two nights went so extraordinarily well. Could you be a fly on the musical wall anywhere? I think I would have liked to have been at the second recital at Buckingham House. It sounds like a terrific party. It really does. How are we doing, folks?
Did he go straight home to Salzburg after London?
Oh, terrific. Thank you very much. Did he go straight back to Salzburg after London? No. The tour continued through the Low Countries, through the Netherlands. The Hague was a terrific town for music business and publishing back then. And so they're back through France, Germany and Switzerland. So it's about a year and a half all told. Getting in that bone-shaking coach, I can't help but come back to that detail. You know, an 8-year-old boy and an 11-year-old girl in a coach. Was he too much of a slave driver, Leopold? I don't know. It's quite a life for kids. But yeah, no, they didn't go straight back to Salzburg. They continued the European tour. Thank you. Good question.
Adam, is there a definitive biography, a biography that's head and shoulders above the others?
Is there a biography that's head and shoulders above the others? Not in my experience. The ones, there's so much space in Mozart's story, which is one of the great things about it, that there's lots of room for conjecture. So most of them seem to have an angle. The most recent one that I read and really loved, I'll just grab it here actually. Jane Glover is absolutely terrific.
Yeah, I've got that. It's very good, yeah. I read it ages ago. Well, you know, whenever it was, I got somebody gave it to me, and it is very good, yeah.
So I think that this is my favourite of recent years. She also does a terrific Handel as well, Handel in London. She's very good.
Yeah.
But again, David, she's got an angle.
Yeah,
I just haven't read the definitive Mozart book, but all my reading is, you know, writers and storytellers are very keen to leap into the gaps and have fun speculating, which, as I said, I think is part of the fun of the Mozart industry. But do look at Jane Glover. She's a musician as well, and she writes about music in a very, very knowledgeable way, but still accessible. So she's really great. Jane Glover. I'll put that on the follow-up email as well, a little bibliography.
Adam, do you think that Queen Charlotte was she musical, or were they just being nice to her, or was she talented herself?
See, this is great. Thank you, Karen. But were they just sucking up to the Queen, saying, "Oh, you're great," and you know she couldn't carry a tune in a bucket? We're told that she was a keen musician. And you think, of course she's the queen. She's going to have plenty of time to be a keen musician. But you've got to think as well, am I getting my figures right here? Maybe somebody will pick me up. 15 children she had, all told. 14 of them born at Buckingham House. So, you know, she's kind of busy. But she was a keen musician. That's an unknowable, isn't it? And it's a very good question, because it throws us back on that political thing. You know, are you really going to say to the Queen, you're a good amateur, but you're not that great? Maybe you'd say that to the Queen after she'd only paid you 24 guineas. You know, maybe that the patronage wasn't quite as golden as they thought it was going to be, but she was a keen musician, certainly, yeah. Whether she was any good or not, that's for another day. She's not on Spotify, put it that way.
Adam, when it comes to, I didn't even know Mozart had a sister, to be honest, but this story is intriguing me, and I thought you were like a Channel 4 documentary promising us intrigue at the end and all that sort of thing. And I was wondering, there is this thing that surrounds Mozart about, someone worked out mathematically how much time he spent on each piece of music, given his lifespan or something, and they said it was almost superhuman, the amount of output. So does that not, in a sort of, trying not to be conspiratorial here, but his sister outlived him, I presume, because he was quite young. So the idea that they're working for the firm, the Mozart firm, and that actually, you know, she was maybe contributing to the output, isn't that far-fetched, in a sense, when you consider the amount of music he was producing, and that's baffled a lot of people. I know that.
Yes.
I say that from I'm not a Mozart scholar. I just like the music and I like the film, you know.
Sure, sure. Yeah, some of his pieces took only 10 minutes to write. Some of them took even longer. Yes. The idea that her relationship with her brother would have been completely different from a relationship with her father. Her father was certainly ruled things with an iron hand, and she was famously obedient, or maybe typically obedient, given the period that we're talking about.
Well, it would be extraordinary for a woman to be able to compose music, wouldn't it? One presumes at that time.
To be alive. You
know, the prevailing attitude, yeah, would be. I mean, I'm thinking about the Brontes as well.
You just haven't heard some of it. So it's quite the wrong phrase to use.
No, I'm trying to
think. Hildegard of Gimmon. There were women.
Yeah, I'm only thinking about it from the attitude of the prevailing times. You know, I mean, it happened to the Brontes as well. They all had to pretend they were men when they published books.
Yeah, I think Hildegard von Bingen's a really good example, I think, but she was composing in a church context.
Yeah.
I think, but she's out of the band by 18, you know, Anna Maria Mozart, because it was seen as unseemly. It was all right for a child to be performing in public, but it's no good for a woman. So it's unacceptable socially. So she's, you know, kicked out of the band, like Brian Jones and the Rolling Stones, kicked out of her own band. I think her obedient relationship to her father, a different kind of devotion to her father than that to the devotion she had to her brother. And I think the devotion she had to her brother was a two-way street. And I just like the idea that if she had a suggestion, he would have taken it on board. I don't think the father would have countenanced any such behaviour from a girl or a young woman. But it's a notion that it's a conspiracy I'm very fond of. Maybe there's a play in there. Maybe it's already been written.
What about Mozart's mother? Do we know anything about her?
Yes. She wasn't a musician, which is why I've left her out of the story in London. Her contributions come to the fore in different places on the tour. Not this tour, but the grand tour. So her contributions, her London story is ill-documented, which suggests that nothing sort of major happened involving her here. So that's why she was left out of the London story here. But he sounds like a bit of a handful, old Leopold, you know. We're going on the grand tour and you're all coming. Okay, I'm saying that with a 21st century sensibility, but she must have had some kind of, devotion to her. There must have been quite a sort of strong feeling there. But she features in greater degree in the book, Mozart's Women, as does young Anna Maria. So yeah, that's my recommendation.
Behind every genius is a nurturing woman, his mother.
Absolutely,
her mother.
But she doesn't come into the London story very much. I hope it didn't appear I was just sort of airbrushing her out, but she does come to the fore a little more on the rest of the grand tour.
Mozart sounds as though he was quite obedient too. Unless did he just? Oh, he was only eight, so I suppose he just went along with it. When you're eight.
Quite so. What are you going to do? We're going on a grand tour. No, I'm going to stay here in Salzburg. No, you're not. You're eight. Yeah. So I wonder if I think, you know, the tour must have an effect on his compositional abilities, on his vista, on his imagination. I picked that particular incidence of seeing the sea. They've never seen the sea before. You know, travel broadens the mind. It must have had an effect on his compositional career. And I wonder if Leopold was a despot. What do we think? Any? It was a bit of nodding going on there. I wouldn't have liked it was my dad, put it that way. Smashing. So it's part of the great sport, I think. I'm delighted that you've all been shouting out theories and ideas there, because I think it's one of the reasons why, I'll stick my neck out a little bit here, one of the reasons why he's the most famous composer in the world. Sorry, Beethoven. Sorry, Beethoven. It's either him or Beethoven, isn't it? He's one of the most famous composers in the world because those gaps in his story allow us in. Mm-hmm. And the emotion in his music has already enticed us in the first place. I think he's, if you're interested in music stories, he's a good one. No, he's only here for 15 months. Folks, our tours are virtual. I say this all the time, but I mean it. Our tours are virtual, but the friends we've made on these tours are very real. It's absolutely lovely to be in your company. Come and see us on another tour. If you wake up, I say this every week as well, if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, I should have asked him that question, drop me a line. Okay. I literally don't get out much these days. So drop me a line and I'll get back to you like that.
Thank you, Adam.
Brilliant.
Thank you. Well, thanks very much, everyone. Be well and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.